And we're live, sort of, in an undisclosed location in a basement in the Chicagoland area. Hard Talk Podcast.
First episode has dropped. Guys, we're stars. What do you think?
You know what? I listened and I thought it went pretty well for the first time.
Listen, I think, you know, in general, there's a challenge there of it's just us three. I don't know who would want to hear us talk about ourselves. There's not that much that's interesting, but I think a little background was helpful in getting people interested. And, you know, going forward, having guests, I think it's only going to take off from there.
I just think it's a very nice feeling when I look down at my inbox and I actually have like a number one next to it that people reach out to me. So I actually have some positive responses.
I did have a lot of people that I haven't heard from in a long time just saying they liked it, they listened to it. You know, they thought it was unique and kind of needed. And I think it's going to just get better from here.
The rides to work are just going to be that much better for people.
Any hate did you guys experience?
I don't think any
negativity.
Hate, really. I did have a couple people call me up to say they remember riding the RTA specifically when we talked about that. So I think that was, you know, kind of people resonated with some of the things we spoke about. And I think it's, I thought it was pretty successful overall for our first episode.
Right. So I think there was stuff that people could relate to in there, specifically people much older than me. And hopefully going forward, there's going to be some stuff that younger people could connect to.
I think we're going to see where it takes us. And we're definitely going to get to some younger Gen Z type stuff.
Yeah. Our target crowd is 6 to 60, I think.
I actually have analytics from the listenership.
I'd like to hear those.
I've got this app called Anchor. And, okay, it tells me audience, first of all, 96% of our listenership is in the United States.
Huge.
Wow.
Okay.
Where's the other 4%? Say where that's from or no?
Israel.
Okay.
Age groups, the vast majority of the group is actually 28 to 34, makes up 60% of the audience.
That's nope. Jordan's friends.
By the way, no one.
Problem is Josh's friends. We would never be able to tell because there's so few in between.
Friends of friends. Yeah. There's a lot, though.
Right. Something is off. I think it'll upload because it says 0% for 60 plus. I don't want to reveal my parents' age, but I know they listened. They listened together and called me afterwards.
Do you know their age?
So that's not true. But guys, something we have to work on, 80% male, 20% female.
Wow.
So I don't know. We have to figure that out. Anyways, we're here. We'll get into it. We have a special guest that's in from New York City, a Chicago native originally. Yoni Lipschitz has joined us tonight.
Great to be here, guys. Great to be here. What a pleasure.
Is Yoni considered a New Yorker? He's frequently here in Chicago. I happen to see him here all the time.
What does your driver's license say?
My driver's license says New York.
And where do you pay taxes?
I pay taxes in New York.
Okay.
And your cell phone number?
773, but I won't give out the rest.
Okay, so Yoni is here. We'll get into his story and stuff and questions we have for him. But first things first, last night's Bulls game. And if I don't know when this is going to air, but the date is what, the 5th today?
It's the 3rd.
It's a third day of birthday month.
A birthday month, yeah. So
it's last night. The 10th of Tevet, though.
It's not anymore.
No, it was.
It was today.
My Hebrew birthday, I think, is coming up then also.
Nice.
No, I'm in Shvat. way off. Okay, last night, the Bulls played the Cavaliers on the road. Josh, they had a healthy lead at some point in the game. I'll be honest, I did not
Were all watch. The players on the Cavs playing, or they had some starters that were out?
No clue. Josh, take it away.
Two important starters out.
Oh, so it should be an easy W.
So
the Bulls were on the road in Cleveland? Or no? They were.
They were on the road. They were on the road. That backfired on you.
Yes.
but I will say that they were up at one point by 21 points. And I turned to my son and I said, I'm going to tweet now. They're up by 21 points. I can't tweet they're definitely going to lose because then I'll look like an idiot if they don't lose. But I'm going to make it obvious that I think they're going to lose. And I tweeted out something like, they're up by 21, you know, chances they lose this, something like that. And sure enough,
have you done this before when they've had large leads, like predicting? And like, obviously, like if they continue to win, so like, okay, yeah. So I said they're going to lose it, but they didn't lose. And it, you know, it's not a great call, but it's a great call if they're up by 21.
I learned pretty early on, don't tweet during the game because usually it backfires. But this time it didn't because they lost and it was just a complete disaster. probably the worst loss of the season, and that's saying a lot this year.
Were you expecting a big W from the Bulls last night, or only after the game started were you anticipating a big victory?
You know, I never thought they would win. Like I said, two starters were out, and I thought that it would be close, and it was close. It just didn't turn out.
But I feel like you tried to, like, reverse jinx it. Like, oh, they're for sure going to lose because back in, like, in your mind, you wanted them to win. No, so,
do you want them to win anymore at this point? You don't want them to win.
No. I mean, I kind of do just because I want to see a win, but every win they get brings them nothing.
I will just note that since I reconnected with Josh about probably 18 months ago, I've seen him go from the most optimistic Bulls fan ever to the most pessimistic Bulls fan.
It's been a fun ride, yes.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, the truth is I was not watching the game at all last night. I looked at the Bulls chat that we are all in, and you guys, like, it started going downhill, right? They were up by 21. People are starting making fun of the Bulls. So I turned on my Xfinity app, and Kevin Love was shooting free throws. We hit one to tie it. And then from there, honestly, after the first episode, I got enjoyment out of rooting for them to lose.
I'm going to have to tell you. This is really, but I also feel this is really triggering me. I'm not kidding.
You all turned me on to something. I was like rooting against them 100%.
To reverse jinx?
Right, but I also sort of feel that, like, either way, like, if they win, he's angry because that means that they're not going to blow up the team. And if they lose, he's going to be angry that they blew the win. So I feel like he's just looking to be angry and grumpy. Is there any truth to that, Josh?
Right now, I'm about to leave the podcast because this is just... Just reliving this is causing me lot of anxiety.
Let me tell you something also, because I was watching like I said, I was not previously watching the game, so I didn't know what had happened beforehand much. Donovan Mitchell hits a long three, and it says he's got like 65 points. I laughed out loud how pathetic that was and how angry Josh must be.
He had 71 at the end of the game.
It's not like they were feeding him the ball because they were up by 20. Like, they needed the points. Like, the Bulls were trying to guard him, you know, and...
Please, let's move on.
All right, just before we move on, one last question regarding the Bulls. What could happen in a Bulls game that would make you leave the United Center happy, or just, you know, when you're finishing watching the game, happy? What would be the outcome? They play really well and they win by a lot. They lose by a lot. Is there anything that the Bulls can do that can make you happy? I don't know how many games they have left in the season, maybe 20, 30.
Very, very good question. I would say game to game, probably not. Because
there's nothing they can
if
do.
If they win, it's like that win means nothing. And if they lose, I'm pissed because they lost. So right.
I'll give you one thing. Hard. I think if Lonzo Ball came back and played well. But, I mean, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like if you saw changes in the way the team plays defense over a course of games, perhaps.
Yeah, if I saw some like market improvement and they were actually playing fundamentally sound ball, or you saw one of their young guys take a big leap. But I don't think that's happening.
Well, let's get into our guest. Yoni, you are from where?
I'm from West Rogers Park, a neighborhood of Chicago originally, and I currently live in New York in the Bronx section. I come here from time to time for work reasons.
Okay, so you skip forward a lot. I mean, you just wrapped up your entire
okay,
life.
Okay, and we're done.
I'm trying to like deep dive in here, you know? So,
well, where are you from is like, where do you live now? Where was I born? No.
Where are you from originally?
Oh, from here. Chicago.
From here.
An undisclosed basement in the Chicagoland area.
North of Toohey or south of Toohey?
North of Toohey.
Your entire life?
No, not my entire life. Most of my childhood, I grew up north of Toohey, but we lived directly across from Chippewa Park a lot of my life.
Any idea on the schedule of those sprinklers? Were they on like 4 months
in
straight?
In Chippewa.
Yeah,
in Chippewa. We always had problems. I don't know the sprinklers. First of all, I went to Chippewa Day Camp.
But they were the ones that were on like 24/7. That was those, weren't they?
The ones that shoot out of that rock from the ground.
Yeah, right. Yes. There's like those four.
Yeah,
like,
no, I do. I could visualize the sprinklers.
They haven't worked in 20 years, right. But I remember as a child, they were always on, like permanently on, like middle of the night. Or
they also had the big round water fountain, right, with different spouts.
Yes. Okay. You have to hold down two sides in order for the other side to get taller.
We had a lot of problems with people playing ball late at night. It was always like, you know.
Okay, Yoni, how many primary schools did you attend and why?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I attended two primary schools, right? Primary is pre-high school? Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say pre-high school.
I think, you know, if we're talking to, if we're assuming most of our listenership is from the Orthodox Jewish world. I think I have a...
it's not, actually.
It's not.
No, I have that in the analytics.
You have that in the analytics. Okay. Well, I attended Ari Crown Hill Torah, Skokie Yeshiva, and Ida Crown. So, you know, I made my rounds.
You covered them all.
I wanted to see a little bit of everything, you know, get a taste. I never never went to Schechter, so we have Jordan's purview for that. But but yeah, why?
I mean, both of your brothers, just to make this clear.
Both of my brothers are exactly like me. We were all the same.
They both went to Ari Crown, and they both went to Skokie Yeshiva.
Skokie Yeshiva, no problems.
8 years and 4 years.
No problems. 8 and 4.
Okay.
My younger sister also went to Ari Crown and then to Hannah Sachs.
Okay.
8 and 4.
All right.
You know, I was a little bit different.
Were any of your siblings valedictorians?
I don't think so. I think my brother won some award at that, like, you know, that like dingy dinner they have.
It's called a graduation, I think.
No, no, it's not. You know the yeshiva awards dinner at the in the cafeteria of the yeshiva. He won some award for being very good at learning Midos. Torah. No, I think Midos are learning Torah.
Do not tell me he was Bachar of the Year.
No, I think it was like there's like Bachar of the Year, and there's like the second place to Bachar of the Year, where I think that's what he was.
Okay, so you were not that.
I was not that. I could have been. I chose not to. You know, I just wanted to make my rounds.
So it was completely voluntary.
Well, you know, when you're in these schools, they convince you have something called a permanent record. I don't think it actually exists. I don't know where my permanent record is.
I do have a story about that.
So at every stage, you know, they're like, so it won't go on your permanent record. We will be asking you to leave. But if you choose not to, we will not accept that.
Can you share, you have a lot of stories. Can you share like the most crucial story in your childhood for any of those four schools and why it didn't work out there?
Well, when did you leave the schools? Just to get when did you leave Ari Crown? I assume you started at Ari Crown.
Yeah,
no, I don't think we have time to talk about all the schools. Right.
When did you leave Ari Crown and when did you leave Skokie? That's my question.
I started Ari Crown. I think like a big thing I once got in trouble for at Ari Crown was I went to 7-Eleven at Mishmar. And let's just say I got something I wasn't supposed to get there. You know, we weren't supposed to leave campus, obviously.
You smoked as a sixth grader. All right, big deal.
All right, well, we'll see. Yeah, whatever it is.
Marlboro Reds. Okay.
You know, and I got something that I wasn't supposed to get there. So that was like a big thing in Ari Crown. But none of them were.
What grade was this?
This was seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
The person behind the counter at 7-Eleven was like, you're a Lipschitz?
So that didn't get you kicked out, but.
I never got kicked out. I never got kicked out in particular for any one thing. Like at the yeshiva, I guess part of it was there was a big rager that happened freshman year. But like there were other people who didn't get kicked out. It was that combined.
But we go back, define no names, but define rager as a freshman.
You know, rager is like you know, alcohol,
Canadian women, club.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, okay. Music.
So not appropriate for a
people's parents out of town, you know, that kind of thing.
And so in both schools, it was more being asked not to come back.
It was being asked not to come back. So I was never like, it was never like, oh, that party happened. And like the next day I got to school and they were like, oh, you can't be here anymore. You know, it wasn't quite like the namesake of this podcast, for example, Hard Talk, nothing like that legend.
And then you got into Ida Crown easily?
I did not get into Ida Crown. This is going poorly already. Don't let my parents see this podcast. They're just going to have to relive a lot of stuff they thought was over.
Are your parents over 60?
My parents are over 60.
Right. They're not going to listen. Then you're fine.
Much, not our much like the guy behind the counter at 7-Eleven, Yoni's father is constantly saying he's a Lipschitz.
I don't know if that might need to cut out that joke.
please cut that out.
That was a boomer joke. Do not cut it out.
You're still laughing.
That's great. Good stuff.
Right. Okay. So you end up getting into Ida Crown.
End up getting into Ida Crown.
You played on the basketball team.
I did.
I saw you on the bench.
I did play on the basketball team. I actually played a little bit. I wasn't, you know, as good as you all or even you, to be honest. But I was like good enough to be a contributing player on a Jewish day school basketball team, I guess.
And who was your coach?
Was it Howie? Howard Braun. Okay, yeah, taught me everything I know about the game. You know, I had a few games against the worser teams where we were like running up the score. You know, the Waldorfs, you know.
Royce Moore,
where I got in and, you know.
No names, please, guys.
Did you try extra hard when you played your old school Skokie Sheva?
There's no way you played in those games.
I did play.
As a senior or junior?
I played in the last Skokie Sheva game as a junior and the three as a senior.
Jordan's podcast voice is gone now. He's like real stark.
I actually started as a senior. I won't say we lost by like 25.
See, normally when the player is good, then like the other team, like they write to like IHSA and like they like protest the person playing. So obviously, I guess Skokie had no issue with you.
Oh, they had no issue.
I think it was like, I think it was like Billy Boker. He had to sit out a year.
I mean, it wouldn't have happened to me under any case. But that rule, I think they stopped like the transfer rule because our year there was it wasn't just me. Some were asked to leave, some left. Our year, like, I would say if there were like 13, 14 guys on the team, seven of them were transfers, and some of the better players were really
must have been some rager.
Were really no, you know, the yeshiva just wasn't it's not for everyone. Not every school is for everyone, you know, and that's.
But it was for the Lipschitzes.
It was for the Lipschitzes until I came along.
Each one better than the next.
You know, so, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
So bringing it back to the podcast here, so. Growing up, I'm I don't know, 4 years younger than you, but you had experiences with Josh and Yoel as a child. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, like when I was growing up, I just feel maybe I'm being nostalgic, but I feel like West Rogers Park and that stuff was like smaller, and he kind of like knew I knew who Josh was, and you're like kind of 2 degrees from everyone. So
it's still like that.
It's still like that. Okay, fair. So Josh was my counselor at camp, which he said was a horrible experience. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that at JCC camp.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, my story with Yoel is kind of in the first episode. You were telling your story with Josh, and it has some similarities there because Josh was kind of like he met you when you were a much younger, punk, rambunctious kid, and I think Yoel was what 8 years older than me. And, you know, Josh being a normal human being was like, all right, I don't really need to hang out with this kid. I'll hang out with his father. And Yoel was like, oh, I'm 8 years older than these like punk high school kids. Let me invite them over to my house and hang out with them. I'm kind of, I guess you were bored with your life, you know? So I don't know what was going on, but.
Grade was this? What grade are you in at the time?
I think I was a junior in high school, junior and senior year of high school.
And he was married.
And Yoel was married with children. So he would come over
just to say, do you want to come and hang out in my house?
I'm going to use my first time out. So,
yes.
So here's my question on that. Was I at any point in a, like a Rebbe Talmud relationship with you and your friends? Was I learning with you guys? Because when you guys were at Hill Torah,
by the way, that might make it like even more suspicious.
I understand. That was like my connection with him because I remember when I was in the kollel at Skokie Yeshiva, so we would learn with the eighth graders. Yes. I think the eighth graders, and they used to come across and we would learn with them. And I was actually as partners in Torah, some sort of program. We were in charge of learning with the guys. We even had like after school. Like programs to do with the kids. So
yes, maybe once or twice a week, I think, you know, they would send us over, and this is in eighth grade when I came to El Torah, they would send us over to the yeshiva to learn. And I think I learned with Yoel, some of my friends might have.
Sioni, was the Partisan Torah program Yoel described, is that in his living room?
Well, no. So then I think, you know, Yoel was, we all transferred.
We play ball, I remember.
So then
I remember playing ball with Sammy Bitterman.
Yes. So I think you showed up back to, like, I hadn't seen you for a while, but I don't know where you were, but you started coming to those Tuesday, Friday Normlets.
Oh, basketball games.
Sorry, I dropped a name. But that's
Pickup basketball at the academy.
Playing pickup basketball at the academy.
Very normal thing for a man in his 20s to do.
Yes, it's not a very normal thing for a man in his 20s to do. I don't know how normal it was for him to invite us over afterwards.
For a nightcap.
I mean, we were hoping. That's why we went. You know, we're like, he's old. He's inviting us over. We don't know what he's going to do, but hopefully he'll try to get us liquored up, you know? So.
And is that what happened? I mean,
can I say?
What, do we have beer?
You gave us beer. And
I gave a beer? Okay.
You gave us beer. We drank a lot of beer. I think it was more than you were expecting.
A lot of beer?
And then at the end.
I don't remember this. That's not true.
And then at the end, you were kind of like, okay, I think I should at least say Dvar Torah so this has some semblance of like, I'm being Ricard, you guys.
Yeah, the only story I remember is some kid like came over to once to babysit, and he said, "You don't have to pay me; just give me a pack of cigarettes."
Did you?
So, yeah, it was cheaper than like paying him $4 an hour.
It was like $5 then. Yeah, when I was a senior in high school, a pack of cigarettes was $5.
Right. It was before all the taxes. So, okay, so you had quite interesting path through, you know, grade school through high school. You encountered Josh. You had, I don't know, some weird experiences with Yoel. And then you go off to Israel like most Academy kids?
I did. I went off to Israel. I was also in a number of schools in Israel. But
where'd you start? Yeah, I just name them.
I started at Josh's favorite yeshiva, Ner Yaakov. Okay. No longer, Alav HaShalom.
A great
no
place.
Longer in existence. Then I learned in the Mir for a minute.
Okay, that's cool, but we don't flex on this podcast.
Is that a flex?
Yeah.
They literally let anybody in there. Like, it's not very hard to get in.
Okay, and then what?
And then I left the Mir, and I was kind of wandering around Israel. I learned in the Tivari for a little bit.
This sounds like a lot of donations required from his parents. I'm already counting the amount of schools.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, so what? The Mir, I don't think required a donation.
Okay,
you just kind of go there and sit.
I'm in. And how old are you? You're still a buffer.
I was in
at this
my
time.
Yeah, I was in my 1920s. I don't have
this. Like is a, your second year in
this
Israel?
This is my second year. So actually, I was in Ner Yaakov for 2 years. End of my second year, I went to the Mir, and then.
Did you go straight to the like you?
And then I went
switch to the Mir, or were you like at some point like nowhere, but just like wandering?
No. I was living in Ner Yaakov. I was a dorm counselor in Ner. So I was second year. I was second year in Ner Yaakov.
Okay, so you're a dorm counselor. Okay, so
no. Then I went to Shar Yashav actually, and I came back and went to the Mir, and then basically after 2.5 years of just like kind of wandering, I went to YU, settled down, you know, did that whole thing. Got a degree of sorts.
There's some Lipschitz in you. At the end of the day, you got to YU. You get to YU and you kind of settle down. You get your life straight, it seems.
Was he in YP or?
I met Yoni the first time actually in YU, and I'd like to give my
Jordan.
Well, you know,
Jordan gave me a little nickname. I didn't understand it because I was just trying to be nice to him, and they were like making fun of me.
Yes. So basically,
he's like little kids. I was trying to like tell them how to get where they were going. It was before Waze and like all that stuff, right?
Well. So let me back up for a second. So, you know, Yoni, I was, you know, acquainted with him somewhat at Moshavah. He was older than me. I think you were on Avodah when I was a camper at some point. So obviously anyone older is like intimidating at Moshavah. If you cross the line, you'd get beat up or thrown down the garbage chute or thrown in the shower or whatever. But anyways, so when I was a senior in high school, I came for Sarachek to watch the Aces play. And I was with a couple buddies staying in an apartment. And we didn't know our way around New York. I think we wanted to go to simply Times Square or something.
You guys were allowed to stay in an apartment, or you had to stay at a hotel? You were just hanging out in the apartment?
No, because I went to the yeshiva, so I wasn't on the Ida Crown team.
I see. I gotcha.
And neither was the buddy I was with. So we want to get to Times Square, and so we ask Lipschitz for directions. You know, what train should we take? Where do we walk? Half an hour later,
it's okay. If I were in a place where I'd never been, it's confusing. If I were,
What was the nickname you gave him?
Okay, so we called him MapQuest.
MapQuest.
Which was, I guess, by the way, a lot of people might not know that if they're younger, that was, I guess, before Google Maps. That's what you went on to find directions.
I was very cautious with you guys because I have a story actually. So this gets back to a little bit of my past being, sort of wandering kid. When I went to the YU tournament my first time, also with me being on the basketball team, what games I played in, there were some suspensions in there that I wasn't allowed to play in games. And the first time I remember, I really wanted to go to Sarachek. And there was something I did. There was a B'nai Akiva Shabbaton, let's just say. And we didn't like the food there and on Saturday. And we went to
We made other arrangements.
Did you call Jordan?
I did not call Jordan because he was like in fourth grade at the time.
That wouldn't have stopped him.
So anyway, so apparently, I don't even think anyone saw us, but like we obviously bragged about it a lot because like what's the point of doing something bad in high school if you don't brag about it? The wrong people found out. They told the school. We got suspended. So I wasn't allowed to go on the Saracek tournament. I booked my own ticket to the Saracek tournament to go independently of, you know, I hung out with the team, but I didn't stay in the hotel. And I got very lost in the city. So I was extra sensitive when young souls came and tried to find the way around.
I feel like that background was like another MapQuest situation, right?
Yeah, that was like, it. I don't know. That was it. Apparently, I have a tendency.
Guys, this is what I'm talking about.
Like 15 minutes have gone by, and I'm no clearer as to why you call the MapQuest than before.
You are, because that was what I did.
That gave a lot of background. I appreciate it.
I know, but the background like took me through like the woods.
Because I get backgrounds like that, so they call me MapQuest. Right. Very detailed stories.
Another thing I remember on that, actually, that particular weekend is that we had a big Friday night meal in Washington Heights at the apartment I'm talking about. And you came over after dinner and just regaled the group with the most fascinating stories.
Was he wearing a suit and tie?
I have no idea. I don't know. You asked that last time. I don't know what he was wearing.
A suit and tie.
I'm just trying to picture Yoni in NYU. What did he look like on Friday night?
I only remember one of the stories, which was about how you guys used to hang out. Like you had your own trailer in the parking lot behind Park Plaza. Talking about like what went on there, but
we
in
didn't
general,
have our own trailer.
But you said you did.
I said they owned the trailer.
I don't know.
Some kids used to like to hang out there because, you know, look, when you're in high school, you don't have much space to just chill and hang out. You're like in people's cars and you find something.
You could have gone to Yoel's living room.
It's fully stocked with beer.
He was too old. He was ready to high school?
No interest anymore.
Hard pass.
There were some conditions, you know, that Yoel imposed upon us if we wanted entry into his house. So overall, I would say like, obviously, clearly, I did some stuff that the authorities in the high school didn't like, but I was scared of like getting in trouble. Like, there were other kids who were like, no, it's fine. I'm like, we're sitting in somebody else's trailer. Like, this is not.
Well, I think you should be less concerned about the school and more concerned about like the police.
Yeah, like, no, that's what I was concerned about. Like, I'm saying, like, breaking and entering.
Were you part of the group that there was this vacant house on Francisco that people used to break into?
I do believe people used to. I never did that. No.
You were adjacent to it, or you knew about it.
I just always heard about people breaking into things, and it wasn't my thing. But I did go in the trailer a couple times, and I was scared the whole time.
You did. It was your thing.
It was my thing.
100% he did.
Peer pressure was occasionally my thing.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, the surprising thing is, like, for all intents and purposes, you ended up being, you know, an amazing student from what I understand at YU, a great student of a great rabbi at YU, you're known as. I don't know if you want to share that. And then obviously you go off to one of the top law schools in the country. So like, what the hell happened? How did that turnaround occur?
I don't know.
He's a Lipschitz, that's why.
I also think of it like a lot of this stuff. I mean, I was just like, I feel like if I'd gone to public school, right? Like a lot of the stuff I did wouldn't have been bad. Like I'm just saying, like what I did on that Shabbaton, like I wouldn't have gotten in trouble for if I just went
to
public school.
Do you think public school kids break into trailers? Is that what you're telling us?
I mean, it was like hijinks. Like, you know, we didn't take anything. We didn't commit any damage. But yeah, I mean, you know, I just thought like it's college and it's time to settle down. You're in a serious environment. And, you know, I mean, I took my time in Israel. I took my time before college, and that was, you know, it. I will not share the rabbi's name because, you know, I was in a certain rabbi's shir, but you know, I don't know if I reflect as positively on him, you know, so
that's fair. So you end up in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan for law school. We can throw that out there. It's on your LinkedIn page, public knowledge, right?
I don't think he'll mind that you say that.
Right. You know that
we've heard his earlier flexes. He's fine with Michigan.
What were my earlier flexes?
I've lost track.
You've lost track. Someone should make a list.
So I don't know if you're aware that was Yoel's aspiration at one point also.
Am I aware? There are two things that every person who meets Yoel becomes aware of immediately. One of them I was aware of, that's that he went to Kamoshva.
Yes.
You got to know that.
That would be correct.
Number two is that Yoel was going to room with Dave Portnoy and Tom Brady at the University of Michigan.
That is correct.
Same class, right?
Same class.
And
we all graduated in 95.
I will just say, had Yoel roomed with Dave Portnoy, Yoel would be El Presidente, and Dave Portnoy would probably not be what Yoel is. He would probably be nothing.
Thank you, my great friend.
I actually want to defend Yoel's basketball career here for a second. Can I do that?
Well, okay. I mean,
you're going to trigger.
We haven't gone into it. I guess
we're going to get to that in future episodes.
No. I think we should let Yoni speak, but okay. I just want to point out that, you know, we haven't made the full case. You know, it's like the defense going before the prosecution here.
Okay,
right?
Fair.
Nothing we can't handle, believe me.
Fair, no, because, but you could go ahead. You could. What's your opening statement?
My opening statement is that he wasn't they thought he was the best player ever at Ida Crown, and then now you're like, I just heard he had a good senior year. I think he's somewhere better than just having a good senior year.
Do you?
I do.
Josh?
Did he play for the SV as a sophomore? You could answer.
It wasn't cool.
I'm going to say.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you start junior year?
Yes.
Yes.
What point in the season? In the first game?
First game, no. I came off the bench and hit three threes in the third quarter.
Against who?
Alumni game.
That doesn't count.
Alumni game does not. That was the
official first game. I know.
Yeah, one second. Here's our producer.
I want to say something about this. Because
can we just do this now? Should we just go into it? Let's do it. Yoni, are you fine with that? I'm sorry to take the tension off you.
I will say
we got to law school. I don't know how much further we can go.
I will say that this is because really, like, my first encounter with Yoel, or not encounter, was my brother played for like some really, you know, lackluster yeshiva teams, and Yoel was a great older, and you know, even when my brother was still JV at yeshiva, I would stay for the varsity games. So I saw him play as a junior, I saw him play as a sophomore, and like, yeah, when you're a little kid, you think all these guys are really good. But I will say it was a golden era for the academy basketball in terms of they smacked.
Of course, the GOAT was playing.
They smacked the yeshiva every time. Yeah, but even beyond that, even when Yoel was a senior, they did.
I'm not talking about Yoel. I'm talking about
I said even beyond the GOAT. Even beyond the GOAT. We're not mentioning any names, but everyone who's grown up in Chicago and IRA knows who it is.
Okay, so
what I want to say is just that I don't know all the ins and outs of like Yoel's career, even though we were classmates, because I wasn't like going to games or anything.
By the way, that itself is damning. No,
it's not damn.
Like, if he was I'm
giving a perspective of somebody who wasn't like a huge fan of his high school basketball team or anything like that. And I was friends with Yoel to some degree. But like, from my perspective, Yoel was a very good basketball player. He was the best player in our class easily. But there was another player in the school at the time who was, can I just say his name? What's bad about
absolutely.
It? Saying that someone's great at basketball.
Sure.
Jason Gorenstein, he was like, from my perspective as somebody who wasn't following that closely, he was the greatest player ever to play at Ida Crown. Like, he was, you know, in the newspaper, and he was like on the varsity team when he was like a freshman. But Yoel was like easily the best player in our class. And
when you say easily, are you
the best athlete in our class?
Are you discounting Aaron Goldman?
Well, Aaron Goldman was a year younger.
Okay.
But I, from my perspective, as someone who didn't follow that much, I thought Yoel was better than Aaron Goldman.
Can I ask you a question, Aaron?
Okay,
go ahead. Would you say that someone being the best player in their class or someone being the best player ever?
Right.
There's a little bit of a difference there.
I mean, Yoel was probably the best player in the school for a couple of years, I would imagine. Oh. But I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe not. Was anyone better than you?
I'm not going to say this person's name, but a year above me. In the yeshiva, okay?
Whatever, that's all I have to say.
There were a couple players in between, but how many players were definitively better than Yoel in, like, the 7-8 years after?
First of all, you know how there's, like, this, you know, there's no libel. You can speak about public figures here, okay?
Fair.
Nani is a public figure.
Okay, fair.
Among Chicago Jewish Orthodox circles, and specifically basketball fans, Nani is a public figure. So you're talking about Nani, the top three yeshiva basketball player of all time.
Who's Nani?
Meadows Park.
Okay.
So what was your point? That there was not many great players between him?
Yeah, him, Shua, Nani. Like,
Shua all swing.
But like, yeah, but there were like, how many classes were there between that? And like.
And Yoel?
Like, when I was in high school, like the year older than me, the year 2 years older than me, like those guys had a best guy in their class. No way that those guys were as good as Yoel.
Yoni, again, I have a feeling you were sort of thing, this guy who I used to sit in his living room when I was 12. is not playing basketball. So you associated that with, you know, you had like kind of an unfair, he had an unfair advantage.
So I was like 8 years old. And again, I also thought that like all these people were awesome at sports.
Wait, hold on. So before you, defend yourself, I want to hear. I'm going to stop you right here. And I want to turn to Josh because he's a year older. So he was there for Jason's entire career. And he saw you as a younger guy.
I have an
explanation. He didn't see your senior year, but he has a perspective that I want to hear before you go.
I mean, are you done?
Are you done? Before the interrupter does his thing, I'll let him speak. Go.
All right. Here, I'm going to set the record straight. I was a child going into high school. I was 5'3" as a freshman. I was physically underdeveloped. Was not a big kid. In fact, I was pretty short until I, you know, my growth spurt was probably at the end of my sophomore year. So I was really much smaller physically, and I really didn't, you know, physically, you know, and I was only 16 by the time I was a senior. So I was very young for my class. Jason was he basically stopped growing in eighth grade, and he was a superstar from a young age. And when he walked into high school, he was a superstar, and he was the same superstar as I mean, obviously every year he got better, but he was always, you know, he was always a superstar. Myself, I never really peaked or got the opportunity until I was taller and stronger.
Can you please just say for the record, Jason was better than me.
Jason was the GOAT. Jason was the greatest high school athlete I played with. I still believe.
Not while we were in high school, before
Yigal Latovsky play, that he was by far the greatest player they've ever seen, and they've seen many, you know, years. Norm Litz has his own list of players that he always says.
That's like Bob Cousy those guys couldn't play.
In terms of, you know,
playing like Shabba shoes.
But the people that I've been around, and I've even seen people, you know, since then, you know, have been really excellent players. So, but yeah, I mean, he was better than me, and Jason was.
Stop. He was better than you.
He had a better career than me. Yes,
that's the clip.
He had a better career than me. But he didn't get to play his senior year, or his full senior year.
I don't think we can disclose why, but
we'll get into that.
I mean, it's like Jordan going and playing baseball.
Yeah. Okay.
Like he already climbed the mountain.
Nothing left to prove.
Yeah, he was done.
He was done.
He dominated. That's it.
Yeah.
So you had a great senior year, we could say. Not good, a great senior year.
I think the producer said, our producer said it best. He was the best player in his class. Every class has a good player. He was a good player in his class. End of story.
I still remember arguing with Steve Scher before senior year that he was going to make the team over me. You can even remind him of that.
There's no way he played. He didn't play.
No, he tried out. He's like, yeah, I got really good over the summer, and I'm going to be a starter.
Actually, in one, I don't think I mind you saying this. One softball season, he was voted worst player in the league.
Not time out. The what worst do you mean voted? Why? Yeah, why would talk about how this vote went that? Down? And
yeah,
and
there was a.
Did they hand out ballots? Was it like the All Star?
I think it was just kind of a consensus.
But this is what happened at the academy. Yeah, like
everyone got together in a room.
Yeah, you're the worst.
And that was
it. Yeah, there was
the worst.
It was like a school.
So he was known as like the worst softball player in the school, which is pretty hard to do.
But the nice thing was about Svi, he didn't like, he was proud and he had a big mouth. So he would talk, he wouldn't care. He would just, yeah, I'm the best, you know, so.
Exactly.
By the way, I don't want to, you know, make you feel bad. I mean, you should be very proud of yourself. You had a great senior year. And also, I think you were like the number one pick in the intermural softball league 1 year, right?
2 years, actually.
By the way,
Josh is still upset about it.
Can we speak about that? We had the draft, and I was a senior that year, and he was like on no one's list, short list for the top pick at all. He was on the list for like later in the first round, and then my friend Will, who had the first pick, who was also by far the best softball
player
in the school.
Yeah, he was the best
by
player.
Far.
Yes.
Picked Yoel because I guess he had seen you play earlier that summer.
No, what happened was that earlier that week,
he shocked everyone with that pick.
I was with I went to John Rich's house. We were playing at Timber Ridge Field, hitting out fly balls, and I was just hitting some good ones. And then Will was there. It was me, John, and Will, and probably Adam, who was like probably like 4 years old at the time, probably like because John used to force him to go ahead and play.
Did Adam go to your house after the game?
He just a couple beers. But then, it was like the week of the draft. And then he picked me. He's like, oh, I'm going to pick you. Like, don't tell anybody. Then he picked us.
It was a total shock.
Yeah.
That's right. Yoel became like a great athlete all of a sudden.
Yes.
Like, Yoel was always very athletic and obviously like on the basketball team and stuff. But I feel like
before junior year, you became like a great athlete, like at every sport.
And it turned out that junior,
maybe it was like a growth spurt. I don't know.
You were amazing at softball, but nobody had you pegged.
Like when I was
a
sophomore, I was picked before you. And then, and then you just
got
blasted past everybody.
Yeah.
Two words for you boys: late bloomer. All right, so
I thought it was gonna be it's one word. PDs. I don't know. I thought we were going with like GNC. Nico Town Center.
So Yoni, so what are you up to these days? You don't live in Chicago, but you're here visiting.
I don't live in Chicago. I'm here visiting. I am currently working at a company that my family owned business, RL Specialty.
Count that one, Josh. Another flex.
I don't understand. You asked me why I'm here in Chicago.
I mean, maybe visiting just family?
Yeah. You could just say business.
Yeah.
Here in business.
Okay.
Too late. Flex recorded.
Yeah. And you live where in New York?
I live in the Bronx.
Where in the Bronx?
Spite and Dieville, which, by the way, is the name of a bar that our producer used to drink at, just so everybody knows.
Is it?
Little known fact.
So the address to your house or house?
Bronx, New York.
Is Riverdale in the Bronx?
Riverdale is in the Bronx, and some people would call the general area in which I live Riverdale, but it is not technically Riverdale.
Josh, what is the medium home average?
one of the wealthiest counties in the country.
Yeah, we struggle to keep up. what can I say?
Do you like living in Riverdale, the Bronx, New York?
Yeah,
do you want to come home one day?
I do. I feel like the way you were describing Josh would love it there. I really do think that.
Explain.
Recently, I was at a unnamed circumcision with our producer's wife, and I was like telling her how.
Wait, what?
Someone's circumcision who I will not name. I will not name the person who
got
circumcised.
You were named at said circumcision. By the way, the lights just went out in the studio.
Someone in my house just turned off the lights.
This just got very intimate.
It could be a windstorm, perhaps outside. Someone should check the weather.
I saw it went off real slow.
Maybe the fog.
Can someone drive Yoel back?
I will need assistance.
Okay, so go back to the circumcision.
Yeah, so I was at a circumcision with our producer's wife, and I feel like I was kind of telling her as a good thing. I was like, "Yeah, it's great there. We have friends and we socialize, but like, after we go to shul or whatever, like everyone just goes and does their own thing, and everyone leaves you alone." I was like, kind of saying it as a positive, and I feel like she was like, "You have no friends. You don't have any friends. Nobody wants to hang out with you." But like.
The lights just went
out. I feel like Josh's primary goal in life is mostly to be left alone.
Oh, I see.
So, like,
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I got that right. I'm just going off the last podcast you guys published.
Okay, fair. Well, Yoni, you are a regular visitor to Chicago to some extent.
I am.
So I'm sure we'll have you back on in the near future. I don't know when this is going up, but I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's great being here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Yoni.
Guys, until next time.
Thank you.